She turned into an alleyway between a couple of the buildings. Igor hesitated. Letting yourself be outlined in the daylight at the mouth of an alley was item one on the local checklist of death. But on the other hand, he wasn't actually doing anything wrong, was he? And she didn't look armed. There was no sound of footsteps in the alley. He waited a moment and stuck his head round a corner. There was no sign of Lady Lejeune. There was also no way out of the alley. It was a dead end, full of rubbish. But there was a fading grey shape in the air which vanished even as he stared. It was a hooded robe, grey as fog. It merged into the general gloom and disappeared. She turned into an alleyway, and then she turned into something else. Igor felt his hands twitch. Individual Igors might have their particular specialities, but they were all expert surgeons and had an inbuilt desire not to see any body wasted. Up in the mountains, where most of the employment was for woodchoppers and miners, having an Igor living locally was considered very fortunate. There was always the risk of an axe bouncing or a saw blade running wild, and then a man was glad to have an Igor around who could lend a hand, or even an entire arm if you were lucky. And while they practiced their skills freely and generously in the community, the Igors were even more careful to use them amongst themselves. Magnificent eyesight, a stout pair of lungs, a wonderful digestive system. It was terrible to think of such wonderful workmanship going to the worms. So they made sure it didn't. They kept it in the family. Igor really did have his grandfather's hands, and now they were bunching into fists all by themselves. Tick. A very small kettle burned on a fire of wood shavings and dried yak dung.
"It was a long time ago," said Lutze. "Exactly when doesn't matter because of what happened. In fact, asking exactly when doesn't make any sense anymore. It depends where you are. In some places it was hundreds of years ago. In some places, well, maybe it hasn't happened yet. There was this man in Oberwald. Invented a clock, an amazing clock. It measured the tick of the universe. Know what that is?"
"No."
"Me neither." "The abbot's your man for that kind of stuff. Let me see. Okay, think of the smallest amount of time that you can. Really small. So tiny that a second would be like a billion years. Got that? Well, the cosmic quantum tick, that's what the abbot calls it, the cosmic quantum tick is much smaller than that. It's the time it takes to go from now to then. The time it takes an atom to think of wobbling. It's the time it takes for the smallest thing that's possible to happen," said Lobsang.
"Exactly. Well done," said Lutze.
He took a deep breath.
"It's also the time it takes for the whole universe to be destroyed in the past and rebuilt in the future. Don't look at me like that. That's what the abbot said."
"Has it been happening while we've been talking?" said Lobsang.
"Millions of times. An oodle-plex of times, probably."
"How many is that?"
"It's one of the abbot's words. It means more numbers than you can imagine in a yonk."
"What's a yonk?"
"A very long time."
"And we don't feel it. The universe is destroyed, and we don't feel it."
"They say not." "The first time it was explained to me, I got a bit jumpy, but it's far too quick for us to notice."
Lobsang stared at the snow for a while. Then he said, "All right, go on."
"Someone in Oberwald built this clock out of glass, powered by lightning, as I recall. It somehow got down to a level where it could tick with the universe."
"Why did he want to do that?"
"Listen, he lived in a big old castle on a crag in Oberwald. People like that don't need a reason apart from because I can. They have a nightmare and try to make it happen."
"But look, you can't make a clock like that because it's inside the universe, so it'll get rebuilt when the universe does, right?" Lutze looked impressed and said so.
"I'm impressed," he said.
"It'd be like opening a box with the crowbar that's inside."
"The abbot believes that part of the clock was outside, though. You can't have something outside that..." "Tell that to a man who has been working on the problem for 9 lifetimes, said Lutze. "You want to hear the rest of the story?"
"Yes, sweeper."
"So, we were spread pretty thin in those days, but there was this young sweeper..."
"You," said Lobsang. "This is going to be you, right?"
"Yes, yes," said Lutze testily.